What on earth is that? That's not worship. That's not how you praise Yahshua. You praise Yahshua with every fiber of your body. The Yahshuan Radio Network is giving you the best sermons on the internet, the best teachers on the internet, and we are breaking some stained glass windows.
We began telling the story of the showdown between Yehovah and Baal. We learned that Israel came back to her senses via fire from heaven, consuming the sacrifice, the altar, and the water. In this next portion of the story, we hear how Elijah became fearful of Jezebel and her prophet-killing spree. Hiding in a cave, we hear an exchange between Elijah and the Almighty Yehovah. This exchange is important because there are direct references to this event in the New Testament, and we need to hear the principles involved to understand why we're reminded of this story for today's understanding. The story of Elijah is an integral part of the Pesach ceremony. As we have seen, and will see, Elijah was the voice crying out, begging Israel to cease her idolatry, Tisha B'Av, repent and return. Now our story picks up with Elijah reaching Mount Horeb and finding a cave for solace from the eyes of any that would wish him dead. Let's listen in. 1 Kings 19:9. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The word of Yehovah came to him. He said, "What are you doing here, Eliyahu?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for Yehovah, the God of armies, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, broken down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Now I'm the only one left, and they're coming after me to kill me too." He said, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before Yehovah." And right then and there Yehovah went past. A mighty blast of wind tore the mountains apart and broke the rocks in pieces before Yehovah. But Yehovah was not in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake. But Yehovah was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, fire broke out. But Yehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire came a quiet, subdued voice. When Eliyahu heard it, he covered his face with his cloak, stepped out, and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Eliyahu?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for Yehovah, the God of armies, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, broken down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Now I'm the only one left, and they're after me to kill me too." Yehovah said to him, "Go back by way of the Damascus desert. When you get there, anoint Hazael to be king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to be king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Malach, Mekolah, to be prophet after you. Jehu will kill whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will kill whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. Still, I will spare 7,000 in Israel, every knee that hasn't bent down before Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This story is very relevant to the situation Israel finds herself in today. There is a remnant that Yehovah has chosen that he has given sight to. And we find in Romans that Shaul explains this mystery very well as a well-read leader of Israel who had these things memorized. Hear his description of what was happening then, ergo now, regarding Israel's placement in Yehovah's eyes. Romans 11:1. "In that case, I say, isn't it that God has repudiated or abandoned his people? Heaven forbid! For I myself am a son of Israel from the seed of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God has not repudiated his people, whom he chose in advance. Or don't you know what the Tanakh says about Eliyahu? He pleads with God against Israel. Yehovah, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I'm the only one left, and now they want to kill me too." Which we read in 1 Kings 19:9. But what is God's answer to him? "I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not knelt down to Baal." It's the same way in the present age. There is a remnant, chosen by grace. What follows is that Israel has not attained the goal for which she is striving. The ones chosen have obtained it, but the rest have been made stone-like. Verse 8, "Just as the Tanakh says, God has given them a spirit of dullness, eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear, right down to the present day." Deuteronomy 29:1. "These are the words of the covenant which Yehovah ordered Moshe to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Then Moshe summoned all Israel and said to them, 'You saw everything Yehovah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, the great testings which you saw with your own eyes, and the signs and those great wonders. Nevertheless, to this day Yehovah has not given you a heart to understand, eyes to see, or ears to hear.'" Isaiah 29:10. "For Yehovah has poured over you a spirit of lethargy. He has closed your eyes and covered your heads. For you, this whole prophetic vision has become like the message in a sealed-up scroll, When one gives it to someone who can read and says, "Please read this," he answers, "I can't, because it's sealed." If the scroll is given to someone who can't read with the request, "Please read this," he says, "I can't read." Then Yehovah said, "Because these people approach me with empty words, and the honor they bestow on me is mere lip service, while in fact they have distanced their hearts from me, and their fear of me is just a mitzvah of human origin, therefore I will have to keep shocking these people with astounding and amazing things until the wisdom of their wise ones vanishes, and the discernment of their discerning ones is hidden away." Continuing to verse 9 of Romans 11. And David says, "Let their dining table become a snare and a trap, a pitfall and punishment. Let their eyes be darkened so that they can't see, with their backs bent continually." Here, Sheol is referring to Psalm 69:22. "Let their dining table before them become a snare when they are at peace. Let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they can't see. Let their bodies always be stumbling. Pour out your fury on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. Let the place where they live be desolate, with no one to live in their tents. For persecuting someone you had already stricken, for adding to the pain of those you wounded." Reading on to Romans 11:11. "In that case, I say, isn't it they have stumbled with the result that they have permanently fallen away? Heaven forbid! Quite the contrary. It is by means of their stumbling that the deliverance has come to the Gentiles, in order to provoke them to jealousy. Moreover, if their stumbling is bringing riches to the world, that is, if Israel's being placed temporarily in a condition less favored than that of the Gentiles is bringing riches to the latter, as in Israel, how much greater riches will Israel in its fullness bring them?" Continuing on to 11:25. "For brothers," speaking to the Israelite population, "I want you to understand this truth, which God formerly concealed, but now has revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is that stoniness to a degree that has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters its fullness. And that is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins." These sins, the sins of rebellion, the sins of idolatry, the sins of Jezebel as a leader of Israel that we have touched on, were the whole reason Israel, Jerusalem and Judah in particular, were desperately waiting for a Redeemer, for they had read the Tanakh and were well aware that Yehovah had divorced them as his chosen people, or his bride. Hosea 2:1. "Say to your brothers, Ami, my people, and to your sisters, Ruchamah, pitied. Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she isn't my wife, and I'm not her husband. She must remove her whoring from her face and her adulteries from between her breasts. Otherwise I will strip her naked and place her as she was the day she was born. Make her like a desert, place her like a dry land, and kill her with thirst. I will have no pity on her children, for they are the children of whoring. Their mother prostituted herself. She who conceived them behaved shamelessly. She said, 'I will pursue my lovers who give me my food and water, wool, flax, olive oil, and wine.'" Jeremiah 3:20. "But like a faithless woman who betrays her husband, you, house of Israel, have betrayed me," said Yehovah. "A sound is heard on the heights, the house of Israel crying, pleading for mercy, because they have perverted their way and forgotten Yehovah their God. Return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." So the prophecy of Isaiah then becomes beautiful music to the ears of scattered Israel as well as Judah. They can once again be the bride of Messiah. We read in Isaiah 59:18, "He repays according to their deeds. Fury to his foes, reprisal to his enemies, to the coastlands he will repay their due. In the west they will fear the name of Yehovah, and likewise in the east his glory. For he will come like a pent-up stream, impelled by the spirit of Yehovah. Then," we read in verse 20, "a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Yaakov who turn from rebellion. So says Yehovah. And as for me, says Yehovah, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who rests on you and my words which I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouth of your children or from the mouth of your children's children, now or ever, says Yehovah. Shaul now explains exactly how they are viewed from Yehovah's perspective. Romans 11:28. With respect to the good news, they are hated for your sake, but with respect to being chosen, they are loved for the patriarch's sake. For God's free gifts and his calling are irrevocable. Just as you yourselves were disobedient to God before, but have received mercy now because of Israel's disobedience, so also Israel has been disobedient now, so that by your showing them the same mercy that God has shown you, they too may now receive God's mercy. For God has shut up all mankind together in disobedience, in order that he might show mercy to all. In closing, let's hear Shaul reminding Jerusalem, Judah, and us just what our responsibilities are regarding Yehovah's grace, Yeshua's redemption, and the establishment of the promised kingdom of perfection that we are all striving to share in. Hebrews 4:11. Therefore, let us do our best to enter that rest, the Shabbat, so that no one will fall short because of the same kind of disobedience. See, the word of God is alive. It is at work, and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts right through to where soul meets spirit and joint meets marrow, and it is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. Before God, nothing created is hidden, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him we must render account. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol who has passed through the highest heaven, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we acknowledge as true. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being that he did not sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Hebrews 12:18. For you have not come to a tangible mountain, to an ignited fire, to darkness, to murk, to a whirlwind, to the sound of a shofar, and to a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be given to them. On the contrary, you have come to Mount Zion, that is, the city of the living God, heavenly Yerushalayim, to myriads of angels in festive assembly, to a community of the firstborn whose names have been recorded in heaven, to a judge who is God of everyone, to spirits of righteous people who have been brought to the goal, to the mediator of a new covenant, Yeshua, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better things than that of Havel. See that you don't reject the one speaking, for if those did not escape who rejected him when he gave divine warning on earth, think how much less we will escape if we turn away from him when he warns from heaven. Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to Aharon and his sons. Tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivareka Yehovah Yishmareka. Yair Yehovah Panaf Eleka Vikuneka. Yisa Yehovah Panaf Eleka Viyasem. Lekha Shalom. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel, so that I will bless them. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and Alleluia.
Many tekel ufarsin, the handwritings on the wall. Many tekel ufarsin, they don't understand at all. You see, the scriptures are quite clear, but man's voices are more dear. Gotta stop the sound, gotta stop the sound of Babylon in our ears. The shofar is a better sound. Return, repent, all around. An Ephraimite army on the go. They don't stop the feet or move. too slow. Yehudah is the bow, and Ephraim the arrow, an Israelite army on the go. They don't stop or feed or move too slow. Many tekel ufarsin, the handwriting's on the wall. Many, many tekel ufarsin, they don't understand at all. You see, the scriptures are quite clear, but man's voices are more dear. Gotta stop the sound, gotta stop the sound of Babylon in our ears. The Father's voice isn't far away, but it sounds close to a few. Stop the sound of Babylon in our ears. Hear a still small voice, Abba is calling you. The handwriting's on the wall. Many, many tekel ufarsin, they don't understand at all. You see, the scriptures are quite clear, but men's voices are more dear. Gotta stop the sound, gotta stop the sound.